Welcome back, party people, to episode 156 of Where My Killer Tape At. First of all, it's going to be a little spoilers for the Echo review. I am doing an Echo review, but I'm going to talk about why I still fuck with the MCU. I'm a super fan. I'm going to get into it. I'm going to talk about superhero fatigue. I'm going to talk about how I stay woke. I'm going to talk about revisionist history as well when it comes to what people see in the different phases of the MCU. So here I am. I'm a fanboy at all. If you got beef with me, you know where I'm at. Let's go. Killer Tape at, B.
So full transparency, I've been a Marvel head since I started reading at age 5, you know what I mean? But what happened to me was I got a hold of an Avengers comic when I was 4. I remember being 4 years old. True story. I remember being 4 years old and looking at books and just trying to read, like really trying to read. And there was some words that I recognized, like and is. Right. Despite Spanish being my first language, I might add. And I remember having an Avengers comic, and I remember being, you know, I had it for so long that when I got became 6 years old, I was able to read it from beginning to end. So and it was the Avengers. I knew it was the Avengers. So I knew the comic was the Avengers. And that's when they was fighting the Grim Reaper, who is Simon Williams' brother. Right. So his evil brother. So like I remember reading that. So I want to say 4. I am now 50 years old, right? Been a Marvel head ever since then. So I'm always going to be behind the MCU. They can put a cape on a piece of doo-doo and say this is the new MCU movie and I'm going to go see it, right? I'm that guy. I'm that guy. I'm always going to swing for the team. I'm always behind them. Are they perfect? No, nobody's perfect. Marvel Comics, all the MCU is not perfect. Stan Lee definitely wasn't perfect, right? So I just want to point that out before I go into this whole thing about why I still fuck with the MCU. You know what I'm saying? And we're going to go from there. I know a lot of people always say, oh, you hate DC. And it's not that I hate DC. It's just that I'm from New York City. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of the streets that are discussed in Marvel Comics or neighborhoods, right? Like Hell's Kitchen. I'm very familiar with Hell's Kitchen, right? I had a girlfriend that lived there. I used to go by there all the time, right? So I could go on and on about the different neighborhoods. You know, I went to school in Harlem. You know where Luke Cage is from. So, and he's not from Harlem, but that's where he resided at, right? So I know that area, you know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like, Marvel is near and dear to my heart because that's my hometown. New York City is my hometown. So that's just wanted to throw that out there. And I just always preferred Marvel over DC. I can argue why, but Marvel is near and dear to my heart. So I just wanted to be clear and transparent about that. So I hear a lot of people say that Phase 4 sucks and Phase 5 is even worse, right? I hear all these people coming out saying that the MCU is done, blah, 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 whatever, whatever, whatever. A lot of y'all do a lot of revisionist history when y'all talk like that. And there's a reason why y'all do it, but we're not going to go there right now. But I just want to point out a couple of things. First of all, before Iron Man came out, there was 2 Hulk movies. And one was directed by Ang Lee, who did Brokeback Mountain. He won all these awards for it, right? And he did the first Hulk movie, my bad. And that was horrible, horrible. The only person they kept from there was Thaddeus Ross. They kept him from there. And then in the second one, they considered the second one canon. It was a little bit better. But a lot of y'all like to forget that. I don't know. And I know, again, that wasn't considered MCU until after Iron Man came out. And after the Avengers came out, they considered that part of the MCU. But still, it's MCU, right? It's pre-Phase 1, and it wasn't that great. You should go back and read the reviews for Captain America and Thor, the first one, right? And really, I run into people every day that tell me they wasn't really feeling Thor until Thor Ragnarok, which is directed by Taika Waititi, right? So who everybody hates now, right? So I just want to point those things out, that phase one wasn't all that. And I can actually give you two more examples of why phase one and phase two were not that, wasn't as great as we like to think they were, right? So I'm going to give you an example. The Inhumans. Okay, now. And let me just say this. Marvel has not put anything out worse than The Inhumans, maybe outside the first Hulk movie, right? So just want to really point that out. And the wild part about The Inhumans were they were like, ooh, we're going to release the first episode on IMAX in theaters. And then we're going to release the rest of the series on regular television. What a great idea that was, Kevin Feige. You know what I mean? And look, I noticed that nobody brings up Inhumans. Nobody brings that up. That was like phase two, right? Okay, I got one more for y'all. How about the S.H.I.E.L.D. series, which I thought, and I'll fight anybody in the street. And look, I love Phil Coulson, even though that character is not originally from the comic book, played by the wonderful Clark Gregg. I think he's the glue that held Avengers 1 together. I really, he was the kind of the glue that kind of put the MCU together in phase one. I sincerely believe that. But the TV series left much to be desired. They took, and I remember like they were trying to get all these ratings and they were putting it in slight in between, you know, shows that had really great ratings to see if they could pick up some of those ratings. They even threw Nick Fury in for a special guest. They were throwing in certain people from the MCU, from Asgard in there, you know what I mean? And then they was trying to get us to fall in love with the Inhumans. Even the comic books are doing it, right? So they threw the Inhuman story in there and it was all over the place, bro. The only thing I like about the S.H.I.E.L.D. series, and I stopped watching it. I pick it up every now and then, is that they bought out Robbie Reyes, that Ghost Rider, because I like Robbie Reyes. I like that Ghost Rider from the comic book. So that's really the only good thing that came out of that. And y'all act like that never happened. Like, I don't understand. Like, nobody talks about S.H.I.E.L.D. Nobody. They talk about the Netflix series shows, but which were great. They were great. The Netflix series, all of them were great with the exception of Iron Fist. I apologize. Iron Fist was horrible. There's another one. There's another example. Iron Fist was horrid. Horrid. And let me just say this. All the CGI for the other movies were looking great. But when it came to the Inhumans and S.H.I.E.L.D., it was looking whack. Cause oh, yeah. You know who else was in S.H.I.E.L.D.? My man. Man, what's his name? That's the only other good thing he was in. But that was a time when Marvel was trying to, you know, since they couldn't get access to the X-Men movie properties, they were trying to get everybody to fall in love with the Inhumans. And it just wasn't happening. Bad move, Kevin Feige. Bad, bad move. I stay woke. Shout out to Erykah Badu. She's not the originator of that term, but I'm woke. I'll be the first one to admit it. I've been saying it since she came out with that album, you know what I mean? And she did that song with Georgia Ann Muldrow. I love that song. Oh my God, I love it. Especially when they break it down. Woo, that bass line. Anyway, I'm off on a tangent, right? So I see a lot of reviews online, YouTube articles from a lot of quote unquote comic book nerds. They're really, to me, they're more gatekeepers than nerds, right? And they say that, oh, Marvel has become woke. Disney has become woke. Da-da-da-da-da-da, woke. Da-da-da-da-da-da, woke. And I run into a lot of, and it's funny because I also run into a lot of comic book fans, right, and superhero movie fans, right, and while they're not overly like anti woke, but they'll say stuff like, you know, I wish they would take politics out of comic books, right, which I don't get it, like I don't like. First of all, writers, they pull from the real world all the time, especially if they write fiction. They pull ideas from the real world, right? George Orwell, when he wrote Animal Farm, he was pulling from, you know, the Soviet Union, you know, and Stalin and Trotsky and all that stuff. So that was very political, you know what I mean? When you look at, you know, Captain America, when they first released Captain America back in the day, decades ago, there's a cover of him punching Hitler in the face. That's political. That's very, very political, especially at a time when a lot of Americans during World War II did not want the United States to enter the war against the Germans. And I'm not saying that they wanted them to fight alongside the Germans. They just was like, we don't want to go to Europe. That's none of our business, right? So you have that, you know, that context. And because we like to, again, revisionist history. We like to think that everybody wanted us to go to fight in Europe and Japan, I mean, in Asia during World War II. And there was a lot of people who did not want. A lot of them held conservative views, I'm not going to lie to you, but that context is there, right? So you're not going to tell me that people like Jack Kirby and Stanley, who were Jewish, right? That, and their experience, also, they were both in the war. And I know Stanley wasn't in the front lines, but you cannot tell me that they were not affected by those things and put it in the stuff they were writing, right? In the 80s, Cloak and Dagger was created as a response to the crack cocaine epidemic, right? There's a lot of stories that were written about what was going on at the time. And if there was a writer who was particularly, you know, Chris Claremont was known for putting in the X-Men a lot of stuff that was going on around the time that he was writing the X-Men. So when I hear people say that, I'm kind of like, when the very nature of comic books was political, because remember, comic books come from comic strips, and a lot of comic strips were very political in nature. So when I hear that, I'm like, what are you reading? Like, what are you reading? And it's not, and let me just say this. When they say woke, they're using it the same way the GOP or right wingers or neo-fascists use the term woke, right? To other black people, to other the LGBT community, right? To other groups that are non-white, you know what I'm saying? To other leftist organizations, they do that to other them when they say woke. And it's funny because I see a lot of politicians who, you know, particularly the Democratic side, who will shy away from that descriptor because they don't want to be put into that lump, right? So, and I think that's really messed up. So it's funny when people trip and I'm like, yo, I'm woke. I stay woke. That's facts. You know what I mean? Because first of all, it's a black thing. And that's, we really got to say that. So when I hear people in the GOP side, or I see a quote unquote comic book fan, once again, they're gatekeepers to me, say woke, they anti-black to me automatically off the jump. And they could say, oh, you know, I have black friends. You could have black friends and be anti-black. Word up. You really, I'm just letting you know that. You could have a black or brown homie that you go comic book shopping every week. You could still be anti-black. Just want to let you know that. So when I hear that, that's what I see. And then when I see your arguments to try to support that, it sounds like you're running for the GOP office in your local community. That's exactly what you sound like, right? So again, revisionist history when it comes to that, and I just wanted to address that part. And look, I was loving Phase 4. I didn't like the Eternals. I'm going to tell you that straight up. I didn't like Ant-Man. I'll tell you that. No, Ant-Man is Phase 5, right? But I didn't like the Eternals, man. They could have kept that shit. But I love Shang-Chi. I watched it in the theater like 2 times. And then I watched it, you know, when it came to Disney Plus, like 4 or 5 times. You know what I mean? I just loved it that they expanded the universe a little bit more and put them in California. You know what I mean? And introduced us to a different part of that universe. And you learn about the Ten Rings and where it comes from. That's dope, man. That, come on, cuz. You're not going to tell me that's not dope, right? I love the Marvels in Phase 5. And I'm going to tell you why I love the Marvels. Because I love the Kree. I love the Kree. You know what I mean? And I like to see more stories about the Kree. I want to see more stories. I want to go to new planets. I want to go to new galaxies. And that's what happened in the Marvels. You know what I'm saying? Like, they told. And then they even explained why Captain Marvel didn't return to Earth after she left in the 90s. They had a great explanation as to why and why she didn't want to talk to nobody. You know what I mean? Because she did something that was really fucked up and literally doomed an entire race. You know what I mean? Like, she pretty much almost committed genocide off of some revenge shit. And I think that's deep, yo. Just think about that for a second. Just think about that. That's heavy. And I know it's like, oh, you know, these are superheroes and it's fiction. But I've done some things that I'm really ashamed of. And I didn't want to be around people that I cared about, because I wanted to work those things out before I came back and told them. You know what I mean? I didn't want to come to them when the issue was unresolved. I've been there. I don't know. I'm not perfect. Maybe y'all perfect. I don't know that. But at the same time, I love the MCU. I love the expanded universe. I love the Disney Plus shows because it expanded more. As much as I didn't like WandaVision, I did like the fact that I learned about S.W.O.R.D. I thought that was really dope. And that, you know, Maria Rambeau, Monica's mother, is the one that founded that organization. That's dope. They even show what happened. People came back from the blip. I really wanted to see that. And these are little jewels and nuggets that I found in a lot of these stories, right? Like, I wanted to see Hawkeye with his family after the blip when he brought everybody back. How did he feel? How did he, you know, he just lost his best friend. How was he dealing with that and the loss of his hearing? Like, that was really dope, you know? And, as much as the Secret Invasion, I didn't like the ending. The last episode of Secret Invasion was doo-doo. I'm not even going to hold you. But I wanted to know what the Skrulls were doing. Like, that's very interesting. Like that story was very, very interesting. Again, the ending was horrible, but it answered a lot of questions of how Nick Fury really rose up in the ranks of S.H.I.E.L.D. Or how he did a lot of things and got away with it. And what the Skrulls were actually doing on Earth when they agreed to come to Earth. That's very interesting. How is that not interesting? You know what I mean? And it's the reason why I could read a comic book and I could be like, okay, cool. I could respect that they're doing this in Daredevil, and I could respect that they're doing this in Guardians of the Galaxy. It's two part of the same connected universe, but they're separate. They're levels and they're ways apart, and they might not even be interconnected like that. So I think that's important, and that's why I love the MCU, because it's been fleshed out. No one in the history of cinema has ever done that. Right? So it's really fun. Even if the movie is horrible, I still like to go in there and be like, okay, cool. This is what the Eternals do. As much as I dislike, I never liked the Eternals, by the way, in the comic book, but I did go see it. And I was kind of like, okay, let's see what this is about. And it explains a whole bunch of other things, you know? And I think that's important. You could flesh out the universe. I'm going to give you another good example, and I'm going to review Echo later on. But from the Hawkeye series, you learn more about Kingpin and what he's doing on the street level. And then we learn how, you know, Hawkeye as Ronin affected that. And then we meet a new character named Echo. And then they have her series and they open up another part of the universe. How is that not dope? I don't get it. So I got to talk about superhero fatigue, because like, that's like, I remember when it was like a couple years ago before Phase 4 really started, where people were predicting there was this Marvel fatigue, superhero fatigue. You would hear it. You would see like a couple of videos here and there. And now it's pretty much what everybody says. If you read anything from Newsweek all the way to your favorite Reddit blogger, they're all talking about that. Is this superhero fatigue? Not really. And here's how I know. Because... okay, so a lot of these movies are not hitting the 1 billion mark, but they're still like making hundreds of millions of dollars. You know what I mean? Like even the ones that are considered flop, like Black Adam, right, is considered an economic flop, right? But it still made $450 million. You know what I mean? I think that's what the number was last time I checked, right? It still made truckloads of money. You know what I'm saying? So like, and don't get me wrong, I know the Flashpoint joint didn't even break even, but it still made a lot of money. You know what I mean? Like, people are still going to see these movies, right? People are still going to talk about them. People are creating, I've seen a lot of content creators come out and you make huge numbers in the last 5 years than I had previously on YouTube, right? And it's because of the superhero movies. So if it's superhero fatigue, we're still debating about it, arguing about it. Shit, this episode is made because people are talking about superhero fatigue, right? Like, so it's still producing, you know what I mean? And again, I'm 50, so I gotta go back. I remember there were very few superhero movies in the early aughts, right? All you really had back then in the early aughts was you had the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies, right? And then on television, you had Heroes, right? Which Heroes, a lot of people forget about Heroes, right? Because Heroes really kind of like wrote the superhero drama, you know what I mean, on TV. Because for there to be a Green Arrow, Arrowverse, you had to have Heroes, you know what I mean? And I think people need to give credit to that. But at one time, it was just Heroes. And Heroes had like a small subgenre of fans, right? Because a lot of people weren't familiar with these characters. So you had to like really invest in the show. So you just had the Sam Raimi joints and all of that. And then let's talk about the early, the 90s, Hollywood was trying to bust out all these summer blockbusters, right? And there's a lot of wild shit that they was doing. It's funny because when I show my children this, they'd be like, man, y'all was wilding in the 90s. But let's take it a step further. In the 80s, you have all these action movies. Chuck Norris, he was the king of all the horrid B movies that he made. Oh my God, look at his catalog, bro. That shit is crazy, right? All that was B movie stuff, right? So what it is is that the reason why I'm making these comparisons is that, number one, at one time there was no superhero movies. Now you have like 8 coming out in 1 year. You know what I'm saying? And everybody's trying to be like the MCU. Now you have, a million TV shows from Marvel and DC and other properties, right? Image Comics and everything. And it's funny because there are movies that are coming out that don't have like the well-known heroes. And I tell people, oh yeah, that's a comic book. And they're like, what? Why The Last Man is a comic book. You know what I'm saying? Like Walking Dead is a comic book. Like all of these people, like those are comic books. And I'm like, yeah, like it's out there, right? So my point is that number one, there was a time when we didn't have comic book movies. Number two, now you have all bunch of stuff out there that you can choose from, whether it's video games, cartoons, or movies. Oh, by the way, I did not forget Justice League and Justice League Unlimited during the early outs. That shit was dope. And the Batman animated series, as much as I don't like Batman, the Batman animated series from back then, Warner Brothers, that shit was lit. Not even going to hold you on that, But anyway, but now what's happening is you have, I'm going to say it's a saturation of the market. It really is. And because of that saturation, you're going to have a lot of whack shit, especially when you have movie studios that are trying to emulate the MCU. Everyone's trying to do it because, again, it hasn't been done before, right? And number two, despite the critics, the MCU, Disney makes a gazillions of dollars, not just in movie sales, right? But video game sales and merchandise. Y'all forget the merch stuff. Y'all forget the hoodies. I remember there was a time that if you wore a Green Lantern shirt, motherfuckers was clowning you. You know what I mean? And I'm not trying to be like, oh, I'm just letting you know how wild it is, right? People will clown you for wearing a Green Lantern shirt. And as much as I'm not a DC fan, I used to have like 3 or 4 Green Lantern shirts. And people would be like, yo, what you doing, cuz? You know what I mean? Now, there's all kinds of merch. Coffee mugs, right? Back in the day, you had to really search for a coffee mug. And you were going to pay premium for it, And now you have tank tops. You have everything from baby bibs, All the way to luxury car covers, with bat symbols on them, I can go on and on. The merch is where the money is, And we're not going to sit here and act like a lot of the properties that we fuck with, Transformers, G.I. Joe, wasn't started. Those were started to sell toys. That's what those were started for, So, there's a big, a lot of people don't even focus on the merch. Disney makes a lot of money in merch. That's why they have Disney Store. They make a lot of money on merchandise. So that's something that we forget. And again, it underlies that capitalist greed that's under a lot of these studios. But that being said, with a lot of the saturation, right? I know I'm going off on a tangent. There's a lot of trash out there. Just like there's a lot of trash action movies. And there's a couple of really dope standouts. That's why there's a lot of really horrible westerns, and there's some standouts, there's a lot of dope 90s summer blockbusters that came out in the 90s, and there's a lot of trash out there. So there's a lot of stuff, and I think that's good. I think it's good because you can pick and choose the properties that you like, So, for example, you can watch Images Invincible by Robert Kirkman on Amazon, right? Or you can do The Boys, which is originally, I can't remember who started The Boys, but then later on it moved over to Boom Studios, Dynamite. That's where it started from. I think it was Dynamite, and I could be wrong, but you can choose which universes you want to fuck with and which ones you don't want to fuck with, and that's just, there's going to be some trash that comes along with it. And I'm not just talking about DC.
I am in no way,
shape, or form saying that the MCU is perfect. There's a lot of snafus. Like I said, the Eternals, I don't know what the fuck that was. Doctor Strange, that part two, it really, and it sucks because part one was so dope. But part two was like mega booty. You know what I mean? Some of the Disney Plus shows were horrible. Ant-Man 3, I don't know what that was. I don't know what was going on there. You know, but at the same time, again, I point out that Captain America 1, even though I liked it, a lot of people didn't like that joint. A lot of people forget that. You know, Thor and then Thor the Dark World, a lot of people forget that. Let's not even talk about the Inhumans. Like, nobody talks about the Inhumans. You know what I'm saying? So we need to stop acting like shit is different. What I'm seeing is members of the alt-right, members of the nerd community who are very, very conservative, racist, and sexist, and homophobic, dominating the conversation, dominating the narrative, and then a lot of that stuff is trickling down to our side, right? And that's what we need to be careful of. We need to stop using the language of right-wingers and people that are really trying to, the racist and sexist and homophobic gatekeepers, you know what I mean? The Marvels was dope. And the funny thing about the Marvels, two things that happened with the Marvels, right? There were people that were calling it a flop at least 2 weeks before it was released. You know what I mean? And then they were saying, oh, the Marvel embargo is suspect. Marvel embargo is a lot of these shit. What is you talking about? You know what I mean? They do that. And it's to prevent spoilers and all that stuff. But also they do those things because they know that there's going to be a lot of speculation, a lot of quote unquote theories out there. And that's content. And that's going to invite more people to the movie theaters. You know what I mean? That's why they do that. But, you know, because it's happening with these, they're too woke or whatever. Right. So that's the one thing with the Marvels. Right. So there were people that are already saying that it was whack. And a lot of people stayed home because of that. The second thing I want to talk about, how Ms. Marvel was released for streaming in the end of December, where you had to pay for it, right? And those numbers are up, right? And there are people coming around saying, damn, I wish I could have watched this in a movie theater. Because guess what? The Marvels is good, actually very, very good, right? And it answers a lot of questions, right? But, you know, let me say another one. Echo is very, very good, you know, and there are people that all I see is negative reviews about it. And I think it's fucked up that we'll see like a whole bunch of negative reviews, and those are the ones that come at the top of your algorithm, you know. And I think that's really shady, you know. Like, I didn't see this much fucking burn for the Inhumans, you know what I mean? I didn't even see this much burn for the Eternals, because that shit was a booty, you know what I mean? But, you know, that being said, I'm gonna go ahead and give you that review of Echo. Let's talk about Echo. Let me just say this. I was really anticipating the release of Echo ever since they made the announcement. Couple things. Number one, she's very different from the Echo in the comic book. Very, very different. So if you go to the comic book to look for her, yes, she was in the Avengers. If you get the Brian Michael Bendis New Avengers run, she was a prominent part of that. She actually wore the Ronin outfit for a second. But she, I can't remember if she's a Daredevil character. She was, you know, fighting the Daredevil series, but her same name, Maya Lopez. So totally different origin story, totally different power set than what you see. So again, if you do that, you're going to find somebody different. Number two, I loved how they changed her up. A lot of times when the MCU changes up superheroes, I'm not a big fan of it, but I like how they changed her up. And this series kind of explains why her name is Echo. And I think that's really dope. So the first issue I had with it is that episode one has pieces of Hawkeye, right? So I guess they did that so you don't have to go watch the Hawkeye series. But I think you should watch the Hawkeye series. But it kind of has some clips from there, and it kind of segues from Hawkeye in there. But the episode one is pretty much her origin story, which I think is really, really dope. You know, they explain why she's the way she is. I heard somebody complain, and there's a spoiler. I heard somebody complain that they didn't understand why she wanted to become the queen of the gangs in New York. It makes sense. Remember that her father took her at a very young age to New York City and pretty much raised her in a mob. Like, he pretty much raised her. And you saw that in Hawkeye. Like, she had her own crew. When her father passed away, she took over the crew, you know? And then this series also explains
because there's a scene where she fights Daredevil, spoiler again. In it, after she fights him, she loses, of course. But Kingpin says, man, you're the only one that could really go toe-to-toe with Daredevil. And he sees that he did the right thing in raising her up. And then he trains her even further. So that explains her skill set, right? And it also explains why she wants to become queen. Like, that's all she knows, right? Her father raised her up in this. The Kingpin kind of mentored her, right? The Kingpin, you know, Wilson Fisk mentored her. So all she knows is a life of crime. She escaped to her peoples because, number one, she knew it was safe for her to get there. She needed time to recover, right? And number two, she wasn't planning on staying, you know? And it's one of those things where, remember, that in Hawkeye, her whole crew was wiped out by the Hawkeyes, right? Like, they wiped out her whole crew, so she didn't have a crew, so she had to regroup and figure out what her next plan was. So that's why that's like that. I don't know what y'all be watching or paying attention to. I know there's a lot of spoilers, but I really enjoyed the Choctaw history piece in all of this and the Choctaw mythology. Man, that was so dope. And that's why I like Ms. Marvel, because I learned a lot. I felt like I was reading a history book at the same time seeing people fight. And I think that I like that. I like that. That's what I fucking pay for, bro. I love that shit. You know what I mean? That's what I'm talking about, right? And let me just say this. The choreography was, it was on point. It was really, really on point. But there's, of course, some shout-outs I got to give out to. Sydney Freeland, she directed most of the episodes, with Katrania McKenzie only doing one episode. So most of it was done by Sydney Freeland. And shout-out to her because she did a great job. But let me say this, man. Alakwa Cox, I hope to see more of her, just period. I'm not familiar with Chaz K. Spencer, who played kind of like her uncle. I loved Tantu Cardinal, and I love Graham Greene as like her grandparents. And of course, they had the homie. They had all the homies from Reservation Dogs, like Devery Jacobs, and the big homie that played Manuel Lopez's dad. Like if you gotta watch Reservation Dogs, man. Like really, for real, for real. I'm sad that it ended. Well, actually, I'm not sad that it ended because I felt like we needed to end it in season 3. But it's really good, solid television. You guys got to watch it. It's on Hulu, definitely, because a lot of people come from there. So it was – Marvel, just when it comes to casting, man, Marvel's just really good at that shit because they be catching me unawares all the time. But Echo, I give it a 3.5 out of 5 stars because, like I said, it needed another episode. And episode 1 is like I'm going to say about 15 minutes was taken from Hawkeye. So it's only like about maybe 20 minutes of new material. So I kind of felt like that was like a crutch. But other than that, I adore it. You should definitely watch it. And if you want to watch it with the big homie, let me know. First of all, thank you for listening to Where My Killer Tape At. You could have been anywhere else, but here you are. So I appreciate your support. I know I've been saying this every year, but I'm still trying to sell 100 coffee mugs. The link is in there. It's from Cafe Press. Please support the podcast. I wanted to remain as independent as fuck. Now, if you want to continue the conversation, you can do it on Spills or on Threads. And just make sure you hashtag Where My Killer Tape At. Killer is spelled K-I-L-L-A. If you want to get a hold of me, I can be found on Spills at Dan Trezomi, on Instagram and Threads at Brother Omi. And that's B-R-O-T-H-E-R-O-M-I. Dan Trezomi is spelled D-A-N-T-R-E-S-O-M-I. So definitely support. Go to the website, omisbench.com, O-M-I-S, bench, B-E-N-C-H.com, and all my information will be on there. Thank you for supporting the show, and we'll see you next time. Peace.